You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 6, if you would. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be assembled together on your day for your wonderful working to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, all that is necessary and needful so that we would be able to proceed in a way that honors you with thanksgiving. God, thank you very much. So deal with us according to your grace. Thank you so much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little study today, I'm trying to think of Wednesday when we had our exercise in the light of the election a little bit. And taking off from that, I'm going to try to take the whole day and do that. And give you a couple of windows that I look through. I'm not sure how many people even see those windows. And it's helpful. So, and we did the study of Genesis 3, among other things, this Sunday school. And everything that is ever to occur that you have in this world right now, its conditions and character, are all found in Genesis 3. They all come out of Genesis 3. So, here we are, and in Luke, we read together in Matthew, now in Luke chapter 6. I'm going to pick it up indirectly if I can, in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, again, which the stream did not against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So they didn't build upon a foundation. So here we are looking to God, and we, every one of us, all humans on the face of the earth, have been born into the world in a given culture, given country, at a given time. And everyone that is born into the world since day one dies. Everyone born in the world, and they're born into a given culture and country, and then they die. In our country, this country of these United States, our culture and our country is made up of a Judeo-Christian founding. It involves the Old Testament and the New, the Jew and the Gentile. And out of that founding, pilgrims and thereafter, our founding fathers, in the light of that Judeo-Christian Bible background, they went and they established the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of these United States. The Declaration of Independence, the second paragraph you are familiar with, I'm just going to remind you and myself. Self-evident, these self-evident truths, that means they don't need any explanation. These truths are so easy, so ordinary, there's no question about them. So these self-evident truths, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, that means they can't be transferred to anyone else, to a new owner, unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, if just simple English, God means what he says and says what he means. God does not give anyone anywhere the option of playing with it. It's what he said, it's what he meant. And you either line up with it or you don't. There's no discussion about it, no debate, and no altering it. God did it, it's done. When our founding fathers did these documents, the Constitution, Declaration, they didn't do it for them. They did it for all our history of our country, as long as we want to be a republic. Now, hang on to that. And thus, what did you say? It is very clear that you, if you're here's the foundation, that everyone, citizens, and everyone that is abiding in this country is resting on this Constitution and Declaration. And what do they know then? Do you know that the Constitution and Declaration says that you were created by God? You're not an accident. You're not evolved. You're not a freak. You're created by God. That's what you know if you're in the United States, not evolution. That's what you know. God is the creator, and he created you. That's the wonderful foundation you have. Everyone that's here in the United States is resting on that foundation. It is nowhere else in the world. Nowhere else in the whole world. You're resting on that. Now hang on to that. And in the light of that, and that gives us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Happiness, as defined by Webster, who defined those words in your Constitution, Declaration, that those wonderful words, the word happiness, is the pursuit and the enjoyment of good. Happiness, the pursuit and enjoyment of good. And when you talk about good, you talk about God. G-O-D. Add another O, G-O-O-D, good. Now, so everyone sitting here, we are all resting on those truths, wonderful truths. We're resting on them. Foundation, it's under you. Now, hang on to that. That's what's there. Now, I'll hold that. Now, in the light of that, if you'd keep in mind, and here's we have in our Constitution, and as we're resting on it, looking to God, and so we're standing on it, we're relying upon it. That's what we have. It's our country. That's why we have our country. Now, and then just adding to that while we're on it, the end of the Declaration of Independence, last section, quote, and for the support of this Declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor, unquote. They did that. And they all paid personally in a very personal way. Now, every man and woman up to this point, when they went to war, I was just over there, the veterans thing on Veterans Day, Veterans Cemetery, 8,000, 10,000 flags, whatever, buried. Now, all of those people went to war. They didn't go to war so that you could go to the grocery store. They went to war to protect the Constitution and Declaration that everyone in office has to agree to. Will you uphold the Constitution Declaration? No, that's what they did. Otherwise, there's no point in me going to war so you could have pizza. Why would I risk my life for you to have pizza? They risked their lives, gave their lives for that, those documents, for that freedom, for that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they all did it. They all did it in a most wonderful way. Now, And in our last 8 years and plus, we have not honored God and country, the Declaration and the Constitution, as we ought to have done so, to say the least. We have not done so. So we have created, in these recent days, we have created a movement that freely, from the top down, up in the top down, has freely violated the Constitution and Declaration. Just didn't matter, doesn't matter. And you hear them say it, they say it. It's a living thing. You can change it like anything. No, you can't. You can't change the Bible. You can't change God. You can't change the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They're not made to change. They're made to abide and exercise, and men and women by the hundreds, thousands, have paid dearly so that they could do so. And that's what it's about. What's the sense in standing in the cemetery looking at that wonderful silence that speaks so loud among all those graves? Wow. Now, in the light of that, so therefore, we have the Judeo-Christian background. That's what it's about. And second thing we have, because of that points to what? It points to God and His Word. That's what it's all about. Divine providence has to keep us. He's the Creator, and we acknowledge Him. Now, so we have a foundation underneath our feet. Whether we understand it or not is something else of the Declaration and Constitution. We also have under our feet God's Word, and thus God and His Word. So we have, so, and do we qualify? We do. We're whosoever's. Any whosoever, anywhere, can believe. So we're all whosoever's. We're all whosoever's. So is that under us? It is. So I'm standing there, and I got that. I'm standing in the place where I have that wonderful thing. And add to that, I'm always, we're always in the presence of God, who gave, who allowed us to have that wonderful, those wonderful documents, the Declaration, the wonderful Bible, God's Word that we have. And we're in His presence. So it isn't something yesterday, it's today. A wonderful presence, a personal presence of God. And God says, a lot of people try to make me go away and think they can go and hide from me. Well, there is no place in forever that you can hide, God said. No, you're always in my presence, no matter how you cut the cookie. So God, we're asking ourselves then, do I understand where my feet are standing? My feet are standing on the wonderful background basis of the constitutional declaration document. We're standing thus on that supports that, which is the Word of God and the God of the Word, and we're in His presence. So therefore, here we are standing, and if you don't, let me tie that little thing. Remember, here we are, you all, every one of us, are bound by the law of gravity. True? And we live at the bottom of the ocean of air that we breathe. All of us are located on this planet. Gravity, we aren't going anywhere else, and gravity, and we're at the bottom of the ocean of the air. Here we are now, and God, we're looking, and the only other way to overcome it is by aerodynamics, etc. And that doesn't make the law of gravity go away. No, it has another law that helps us handle the first one, the law of gravity. Now, so here we are looking, and we shared together in John. We can't do that right now, but in John 12 and 24, the Lord, the Jews and Gentiles that were looking, Jews and Gentiles were looking. John 12. Came to see. They wanted to see Jesus, the Gentiles did. And that's when the Lord said, except a seed, a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Now we did that, but we've got to keep moving so we get somewhere here. Now, in the light of that, God has a wonderful design and a wonderful purpose in doing, giving his word. And when they did the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And all the documents, you can read them, volumes and volumes and volumes of the papers to the presidents and all of these different things. Of what? Especially in the beginning. And so we have a Pledge of Allegiance. We have a Pledge of Allegiance. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Under God, when we pledge allegiance. One nation, under God. That's, you're in this country, that's what it is, under God. So you have all those, that's your foundation. How many people practice and realize that you know? They come and go, work, homeschool, eat, drink, and do all kinds of things. Are they aware of that? No. And thus, as citizens, as residents, we are enjoying, we are there, and what measure we enjoy it, what measure we appreciate it is something else. And therefore, we need to have an understanding, and we need to understand that we're to seek God. That's what our privilege is, to know God. That's why we're here, to be able to have the opportunity of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, these truths. So we're looking at that. So now, here we are, and our country at the moment is, as we shared on Wednesday in some detail, we are in a very, very rare time in history. First time that I can think, well, not the first time, but pretty near, the first time in our country and in the world that a people have sought to return to resolve the problems that they faced in the light of their documents. In our case, our Declaration of Independence. To bring into focus, to bring back the benefits and the blessings which are missing, which have been missing, that belong to those that have such a foundation, declaration, God, His wonderful person and presence, and they're resting on that. And they ought to have the benefits, but they aren't getting the benefits and the blessings. So here they are. So they're all moving away. So you have, on that one hand, that's what they want. And on the other hand, you have people that don't care. We've moved away, and we move, and no one cares. Who cares? We got multiculturalism and more, and less and less people that have any background of why we're here. Why on earth are on this, in this piece of property called the United States? And therefore, looking for recovery? No. Are they looking for? They don't care. It's missing. Who cares about the Constitution? In fact, I just read it. The thing. I can't even give to you. It's so involved. But in the millennials would rather. That's what it is. Millennials are in agreement with Karl Marx when it comes to property and government. 64% or something. Karl Marx. Communism, socialism, that's right. But, here we are, looking, and God, in the process, here's 60 million, I think, 60 million that want a return and restoration, and 60 million who don't care if we ever return. You got even, basically even. Now, in the light of that, and in the process, they need to understand what? They need to understand the people that want, we shared it on all of this on Wednesday and that, to remind you that the people that don't care at all. They don't care. And the people that do care, if they don't understand the document, the foundation, if they don't have the foundations in their head, in their heart, if they don't have those foundations, then how can they maintain them? How do you make a commitment to something if you don't understand it? You understand the problems of them, why you're missing all the benefits, that's right. you understand why? And if you don't understand why, how can you maintain them? Where are the people that line up that went to war? Second World War especially, that I know. Second World War. That lined up in the day, Sunday, December 7th, 1941. The next day, lined up. Lined up, wherever they were. Big, long lines, waiting to sign up to go to war. Wow. You wouldn't have that today, my friend. You wouldn't have that at all. We got all kinds of, who cares about war? Who cares that we're for this and someone else is against this and for that and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now, here's all our thing you've got. You need to have an understanding. But we don't have an understanding. We don't have it. Now, so we need to understand that. So when you're trying to have something, just think now. When you were raised in your home, were you given a reasonable understanding of your founding fathers, the Declaration, all of that, and what it cost, and have that? When I was raised, and back then and then, people, yeah, I remember walking down the street and the gold stars would be up in the windows in Boston and that, of each time. You see a house, a gold star means someone died in the family in the war. And then you go down next week and there's two stars up there now. Two people died from that family in the Second World War. And it was a sobering, committed. Wow. Wow. And we had guns, by the way. We used to shoot each other. Boom, boom. Remember them? We did that. Do you know what? We never shot each other. We wouldn't even think of shooting a policeman, ever. We would honor a policeman. A whole gang of us would bow to a policeman. And he would lead us off like sheep, whatever he wanted. So it's the whole thing's off-center. It's not good. It's crazy. You lost everything. Race and all of it. They've blown it away. What could have been. But anyway, having said that little bit, I don't want to get bothered by this. I just calm and collect. But I want you to understand, you've got a problem and you can't maintain. What 60 million or so want, you have to maintain it. And if you don't have the people to understand and go for it, I think of how many senators and congressmen and mayors and local people, I agree with our constitution. They don't even know what it is. They never read the thing. How can you uphold it? Wow. Now, in the light of that, we need to understand our foundation. And I'm trying to help you understand, it is there. Whether we honor it, understand it or not, it is there for us. God's Word is there. You've got it in your hand, I hope. God's Word and God's presence, we're in His presence. So the gospel, we have everything going for us if we would but try to have it and claim it rightly. Therefore, we need to understand at the very least, we are at the end of the age of grace, biblically, and we're headed into the tribulation. There's no reverse. There's no way going backwards. We're down the hill too far, and God has, like Jerusalem, etc., too far. There's no revival, no reverse, no revival. Over to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, would you allow me to go in the light of that context? Chapter 1, verse 32. 1:32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wherefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. Aha, verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things, etc. So God, here we are looking, and they are plotting. And if you don't do what right, we riot and do all, and the gang, the system promotes and hires all the things to do what they do. To kill it. And so if you aren't going to do what we want, then you're going to be sorry. Now, so having said that little bit, now, secondly, keep in mind, Israel is a wonderful example. Romans, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4 and following, what happened? Israel wanted to be a nation like all the have everything like other nations. And God gave it to them. He tried to help them with David and different things. It didn't do any good. Josiah, think of Jeremiah, Josiah, Hezekiah, and all of those things. And God tried to help them with them. But you know what? They wanted to be like the world. And you know what? They became more and more like the world. And the world does what? Wars and rumors of wars, and everyone seeks to be king of the mountain and play the game. And therefore, Assyria and Babylon and all of that, Jews, where are you now? Israel is not in a very nice place, considering. Because they want what? They got tied up in the world system. And when you get tied up in the world system, are you going to want to get it better? Well, no, because we have the world system allows us to enjoy our old nature, our ways of thinking and doing, which are way off the wall when in the light of heaven, and we don't mind. We like being in the dark. We like being in a state of death, having no life. And thirdly, I would remind you, and we harden our heart to rebellion and get rebellious very hard, very hard. And so God, and we've shared it on Wednesday, remember there's good kings and the bad son, father, good king, son, bad king, good king, good king, bad king, bad king, and then bad, 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 bad. It never gets good. Where are the good kings? No more good kings. No more. No more good kings. Over, if you would, please, to Ecclesiastes. And Solomon will help us. In Ecclesiastes, if I can, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3, if I can. And you'll notice, please, in everything, to everything, there is a season, a time to every purpose. The word purpose, business, matter, whatever you have, whatever is at hand. Time of every purpose under the heaven. So here we are, time to be born, a time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, etc., etc. So here's a time. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a time for it. And all of those things arise. There's a time to be healthy, there's a time you get sick, there's a time you feel good, and the time you feel bad. Time things are easy, and time things are hard. That's the way it is. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, chapter 3, over to verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything, verse 11, beautiful, useful is the word, useful, profitable. I made everything beautiful, useful in his time. Remember, there's a season for everything. Also, he has set the world eternity in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to end. So God, you made it so nothing, just like Genesis 3 in Sunday school, I made it. You made suffering and sorrow and pain and heartache and headache. You made it so what? We would always remember we need a Savior. We're living under the condition of sin, and we need to solve it. We cannot solve it without getting saved. Sin is an offense to God, and it must be fixed. And thus it has to be fixed. So God, what do you do? So that you never, one thing you got this, and the next thing you got, I'm going to have it better and better and better. But nothing's better, you'll pick that up tonight. Nothing's better, better and better. Nothing is. So now, he's looking at Ecclesiastes and God's wonderful working, keeping that in mind. So God, here we are, there's a time for war and peace, etc. So there, what is under our feet? What are we looking for? What are we resting on as we sit here? What are we looking for? God, what's under our feet? What are we trusting in, God, with all our heart? So therefore, Malachi, remember, everything's changing, Ecclesiastes 3, etc. Everything's changing. And it's all changing so that you can't say, I've got the football and I'll win the game forever. No, you don't. You have to play another game and you'll lose. Win, lose, and it never stops. So here's Malachi, if you would, and in Malachi chapter 3. God said, and as remember, he's closing now. We're going to have all the years, 400 years before John the Baptist, etc. Now, and chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. God, you don't change. Everything in our world changes. Hot, cold, up, down, life, death, plant, pluck up. Everything, that's right. But I don't change. Everything changes. I don't. You need to know me. You need to trust me with all your heart. And I'm the only one you can trust. Why? Because there is no other God. Now, if you want a little exercise for half a second, think now, here you are. Here's Mormonism. I'm going to take Mormonism. And here's Jehovah Witnesses over here. I'm going to take all these different, all those books at home anyway, and you put them up in a big pile. Now, who are you going to trust? Say, well, I'm going to trust what Joseph Smith thought. I'm going to trust what Ellen G. White tossed, Seventh Adventism. I'm going to trust that. Say, really? Go ahead. Now, tell me what good it does you. What on earth good does it do you? I mean, being realistic now, not playing a game. We don't want to, that's silly. A waste of time. There's no profit in it. No profit. But we feel good because we're part of a club and we get in and we do this and do that. And our belief is just as good as your belief. But belief doesn't make anything true. Does it? It's either true or it isn't. Whether you believe it or not, it's true, period. Your belief doesn't do a thing. Well, this is what I believe. That's what people say, this is what I believe. That may be, and you have a right to believe what you want to believe. But why don't we, our witnessing as believers, we point to what? God has said, not what I believe. I believe that. But I don't say I believe this. I'm going to tell you what God said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then thou shalt be saved. It isn't what I believe makes anything true. It's what God has said that makes it true. And that's what we need to know. Forget all this other stuff. It won't go anywhere. It doesn't do any good. We're caught up in all kinds of stuff. And why is our society, America, like this? It's because we've been so many years and years of never correcting, catching the flavor and the fragrance of truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, so here, over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 1. If I can. We have a wonderful, wonderful foundation underneath you. And I don't mean the 3 inches of cement on top of steel underneath you. 3 inches of cement, whatever it is on top of that, whatever. And then the rug and everything. And then that's sitting on top of the ground. When we had built this, we had a problem because you're hitting ledge. On this end, it's all ledge, straight down. And we had to, man, did we have our problems. trying to figure that out. And Larry and I sat on the edge of the ditch up here with a big hole, sitting down, and they said, we have to stop. And we sat down on the edge of the hole, looking down in the dirt, looking down, and say, God, what shall we do? What shall we do? How do we do it? And we did that. So what I'm trying to tell you what's underneath here, because I know you're very interested. What's underneath here? But underneath that, underneath your feet, in your heart, you're resting down, if you understand the wonderful benefits of being in these United States. You're resting down on the wonderful truths that you are created by God. You're not an accident. You're for real. And when you understand that, abortion and all that other stuff is cleared up wwonderfully so, not wrongly so, wrongly. You need to understand it rightly so you don't get all flustered about everything. And we understand we have a creator and a wonderful God who meant us to pursue. Liberty is our right. Truth, liberty, life. God meant it to us to live and to pursue the enjoyment of all God's good and grace. Wow. So I understand that. That's what's underneath our feet. If we but know it, if we but pursue it, if we make a commitment to it. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth and of the heavens. The heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God, you're there, you're all the way to the end. No, you're not going to change. No, I'm not going to change. Over to chapter 13, which you know. Chapter 13, as you'd guess. And if I can, in verse 8 directly. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, yesterday, same yesterday, and today, and forever. Yep. God, you change. No, I don't change. Your whole thing has changed. Your whole system, the whole state and standing of being alive on earth. It's hot weather, cold weather, winter, spring, all kinds of easy, hard, much, little. Everything is not stable. There's nothing set. Everything is flawed. We'll look at that tonight. Flawed. You have to understand that. Wow. Now, so, God, you're the same. And we need to trust you. You did a wonderful thing. You created us for to be able to enjoy you. We're created in your image and likeness. We're made special, special, special. We aren't angels. And we aren't an antelope. We aren't an antelope or a cantaloupe. How's that? We aren't either. We're persons. And God meant us, designed us. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. And you would recall, you know it, the wonderful for the believing heart. Believing heart, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the solid ground on which we stand. He has made he perfectly satisfies God with his death, burial, and resurrection. He propitiates us. He satisfies God entirely. In verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God, you're the same yesterday forever. You're the God that created us. Uh-huh. You're the God that died for us. Uh-huh. And God, we're to trust you with all our heart. That's correct. That's correct. And there's no one else to talk about. There's no one else to go to. There's nowhere else. No, not only no one else to go to. There's nowhere else to go to. There's no other book in all of the world. My book. my son, your savior. There's nowhere else to go. That's it. Now, but we got a huge section of people that don't want to ever get to what I just said. They're happy as can be to go the other direction. Now, so we're up again. We're up. We're looking for God to do what? How much? So that's what we had. Now, in the light of that, so God, you've given us a wonderful, wonderful foundation on which to rest. And in resting our God, we want to do so. And over, let me do 1, 2, 3. Over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 4. Remember, there's a wonderful, wonderful rest. We don't want to be, we want to be able to exercise the what other people didn't. We want to learn from history. And that's what we're seeking to do, to understand history, to exercise the benefits thereof, and to return to that wonderful history that gives us all these benefits. And therefore, Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 18, 3 and 18, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them which believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's right. And then you're going to give us the wonderful, wonderful thing you've done for us in providing a safe, solid foundation on which to rest upon, rely upon, trust in. And therefore, we go down to chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into that his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did his. So we aren't trusting anything we do or think. We're trusting what God has done and thinks. Therefore, let us, verse 11, let us labor, let us make haste, speed, zeal is the word, labor. Let us labor, zeal, speedily. Therefore, to what? Enter into that rest, to run to that solid ground, to get down on that solid foundation, lest any man fall. After the same example of unbelief. God, we don't want to let that happen. God, it's your, here we are, and in your wonderful providence, you have gone overriding everything and made something happen that never has happened like this in our country or in the world. We're the only country that could make an effort to go back. We don't have a king and a king's son and all of this. We don't have that. We aren't Russia with dictators and all of that. We're America. We have documents to go back to. And we have it. God, how far? How much? You did this. You did it. Now, shouldn't all the people up in the cities, Los Angeles and all, shouldn't they be applauding and thanking God instead of marching in the street? But they don't understand that, and they don't want to. Now, over in closing, over if you would, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And you will notice, please, I'm going to go directly in the light of all of it. If I can, Psalm 66, sliding down, if I can, to verse 9, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. We're resting down on solid ground. Verse 9, 66, 9. We're resting down on solid ground. For thou, O God, hath proved us, tested us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us up into the net, trouble, hardship. Things weren't easy. Thou latest affliction upon our loins. We had to go through all kinds of ups and downs, easies and hard things. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. The word wealthy is saturated, satiated. Think of you use a sponge. The sponge is so absorbed it can't hold another drop of water. I want to bring you to the place where I satiate, I satisfy you. So there's nothing lacking. That's what I want. So you allow all of this, that's right, to get you to get to me, to the foundation. Under the foundation, declaration, under that, what supports the declaration? God does. God's word. In closing, Psalm 40. Appreciate your patience. I hope you got a little bit. I just started mumbling. What can I tell you? It's an awesome time. It is. But it's going to be difficult because everything's against it. Everything's against it. And even if we have it for a little bit, it'll disappear tomorrow. Psalm 40, great one. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, sinking clay, miry clay to sink down into, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God, you put me on solid ground. Wonderful. Wonderful. Verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Oh, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful, wonderful works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned, calculated, counted. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. God, what are you saying? God, you want me to go, and you put me on a solid rock? Uh-huh. So what's underneath your feet? Solidness. I could be in quicksand. I could be sinking in a sinkhole, but my feet and my heart and yours are on solid ground. And if, like think Psalm 46 and all that, if the earth open up and swallow you, be of good cheer. You're safe as can be. You're safe as can be. Wow. I was in an earthquake once out in California, a big one. And we had the hotel and looked out in the trees and ground and everything. And they said, the hotel said, don't go out there because it's splitting a little bit in the ground. And I knew that. I said, God, if it opens up and swallows this dumb hotel, I'm going down with it. But I'm only going to go up when I go down. So God, do what you do. Wonderful. And I watched the trees and everything. And I'm still here. Wow. Wow. God, you think about us more than the sand of the sea. I do. Now, God, how stupid can we be? Pretty stupid. Stubborn? Oh, boy, can we be stubborn. Stubborn and stupid. Wow. That's not you people, of course. And people. We get like that and we lose out. God, the obvious is so obvious and so real. I hope you all have a copy of the Constitution and Declaration. It's only little. Obamacare is 2,700 pages and 10,000 regulations. Little Constitution to live by it. And God, that's where we are. What a foundation. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. And God, we just try to stumble through this a little bit. To get a handle on it all. It's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing, God, that you are who you are. You're solid. Solid, safe, certain. A wonderful Savior. God, we're resting on you. We're resting on your word and your work on Calvary's cross. God, thank you. We thank you for our country and the men and women that have paid our founding fathers all the way down to our present day. Men and women that have given their lives for this, to protect, to defend, to preserve God and country. God, I look at it on the wall. God and country. God and country. Here we are. Thank you very much, God. May we not drift away and throw it away in the name of following and heeding the trend, the crowd, God, what people, the peer pressure, God. God, the only pressure we want is the pressure of truth that should prevail in our heart. God, put it all together for us. God, help us not to be so dumb and caught up chasing the devil's herd, as the song goes, chasing the devil's herd in the sky, which we can never catch. God, thank you very, very much. Thank you for caring. Thank you for loving. Thank you, God, no matter where we put our feet, no matter where we rest, we're resting down, our God, on your wonderful grace and mercy, and you're able to save completely to the uttermost all that trust thee. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn, if you would, in closing, and we'll sing a stanza or two, 423. Thank you very much.